In case you haven't known, it's pretty warm out, which means one of us three is going to be lobbying for an earlier start of the season. It's going to backfire on Saturday when it probably cools down. It's looking like it's going to be a dreary weekend of rain, but hey, it's warm today. I'm Ryan McDonald.
I am Chris Ostremski.
Hey, everyone. How you doing? This is Saif Fakadu.
And if you thought the weather was warm, well, the lacrosse action was red hot this past weekend. We've got a lot to cover on this edition of College Crosscast. Welcome to College Crosscast. How you guys doing?
It is warm outside, so I cannot complain. And the Eagles also won the Super Bowl.
It's a balmy 70 degrees here in Philadelphia, Ryan. It's beautiful.
It reached 70 today in Syracuse.
Yeah, the underrated thing, Syracuse in the spring gets warmer than a lot of the rest of New York State. Syracuse is deceptively a warm place. It snows a lot, but it's generally warmer than where I am on Long Island. So just throwing that out there.
How warm was it on Long Island today, though?
64. So, that's what I'm saying. Syracuse springtimes are warmer than New York City springtimes. People don't know that.
I think it reached 70 for like a few minutes, and then most of the day was just at a nice 69 degrees.
Nice. But yeah, I enjoyed Syracuse springtimes, to say the least, because it was usually about 5 to 10 degrees warmer than it was back home here on Long Island. The best were when, the week before spring break, it usually was warm when I was up there, and that was quite good. So that's the weather. We got a lot of lacrosse to talk about. I mean, if there was a weekend for a lot of lacrosse games to deliver, this was it. And we had a bunch. And the action got started fast and furious on Friday night. You know, game between Lafayette and Wagner. Okay, well, what could possibly do this to kind of set the mood for the weekend? How about the Leopards winning 8-7 in... Brace yourselves, because you're going to hear this freaking angelic voice for the whole episode. 8-7 in double overtime.
And I will always love you.
You're going to be hearing that early and often. So Lafayette, with their first win of the season fairly early, right off the bat as well. So good for the Leopards. Then the game of the week. It was a pretty big deal, and it ended up becoming a really awesome game. Duke beats Denver 15-12. Pretty back and forth game, with the Blue Devils pulling away in the fourth quarter. A very strong fourth quarter to come back and grab the game by the horns and take the victory. And didn't necessarily mean all gutter. It was a pretty balanced attack. You would think, oh, Gutterding all the time. He had a very solid game, but talk about a lot of secondary threats that have popped up for the Blue Devils and on full display in that game. Also got to give credit to Denver's Ethan Walker. He had himself a ball game, the sophomore attackman for the Pios. But Duke shut him down when they needed to most. And in the end, the Blue Devils come away with the victory that would propel them to the number one spot in the media poll.
Yeah, I think there we'll get to our polls later because there is some discrepancy there. Truly think that I was scared for my life because kind of put down the bet that, hey, Duke's the number one team. And for everyone that said, well, one person that said, like, Duke shouldn't be the number one team, lulls. And then all of a sudden, you know, Denver gets out of a four-goal lead in the third quarter. And I'm just shivering my pants that, you know, I could be wrong again and backfire and look like an idiot. But thank you to Mr. Joe Roberson for his four goals in the fourth quarter. And
nobody cares about your fantasy team.
I don't have him on my fantasy team, though. I'm just pointing out that he had four goals in the fourth quarter.
All right.
And that played a big role. and also Duke stopping, well, limiting at least Trevor Baptiste in that fourth quarter. That was a big part in that comeback. Duke definitely showed why they are number one team. And this is unlike a Duke that we usually see the past few years where they have that slow start in February.
It was a really impressive win. I mean, Denver kind of had this game locked down. Duke just goes on a seven-goal run. Just totally changes, you know, the momentum, the whole entire face of the game. I was really impressed. You know, I had tipped to Chris. Yeah, like I thought, like, Denver was definitely going to have it just because, like, Denver had Duke's number for the last few years. And under Tierney, they actually, I think it's like 6-2 record. They have, you know, head-to-head versus Duke. So I thought it was going to be, you know, just another early season Denver win. And it was looking that way for a little while, for most of it. You know, it was close, but Denver seemed to be in control. And then they started to push out ahead. And then Duke just pushed to another gear. And, you know, excellent performance by all of them. Yeah.
One thing that I think Duke, it's going to scare them, and I pointed this out. Their face-off guy, Brian Smith, did not have a really good game. Trevor Baptiste dominated.
You're going up against Trevor Baptiste, so that's kind of taking it with a grain of salt.
But, I mean, Brian Smith hasn't looked that solid either in his games. He got beat by Trent Harper, who's a decent face-off guy. He did okay against Jacksonville and High Point. But if you're going to face off against better teams in the nation deeper in May, you need a better face-off guy. And Brian Smith isn't the Kyle Rowe or the Brendan Fowler Duke has had in the past few years. So they need to find some kind of situation there. But other than that, I think Duke is kind of flawless. I didn't really understand why Danowski went to Turner Upgren in the second half, even though he didn't say, you know, oh, we did this the entire regular season. That's because they played Air Force, High Point, and Jacksonville. They were up by a lot. So I still think Danny Fowler's your number one goalie, and that should stay that way. But other than that, I think Duke's fine.
Yeah, Duke, I think, you know, they look dominant in their first three games, but it's good for them to get tested, and they survived the test here against Denver. On the flip side for Denver, you know, the Air Force, I think we've kind of beat the Air Force situation over the head by now. So this was kind of their first real competitive game at the track. And the first three quarters, they definitely looked up to the task. What we're going to have to see going forward out of Denver is the finishing ability. And I think this is where Duke having their sea legs helped out. And, you know, as the season progresses, Denver's going to have, you know, easier time finishing games. But it's a little bit of a bitter pill to swallow that you go on the road, primetime, nationally televised game against the team that you're competing for the number one spot in the nation, and you look so good, but then it just kind of fell apart in the end with the way Duke stepped up there. So, you know, no need to panic if you're the Pioneers, but you got to think that's a bit of a blown opportunity when, in the grand scheme of things, this game could be what decides who gets a one seed when all is said and done come May.
And, I mean, you made a funny tweet, but it is true, right? Lacrosse is a game of runs, and Denver had their run in the third quarter. They scored 5 of the 6 goals from 9 minutes on, and then Duke just owned the fourth. Like if I'm a Denver fan, you know, obviously shout out to Duke. They won that game, but I don't know how many times a built Tierney-led team is going to give up 7 goals in the fourth quarter and give up, you know, a 4-goal lead. So, you know, you can, like, at least hold on to that. You know, if you're a Denver fan, you know, you had Duke down 12-8 going into the fourth. So, and you had a great game by Trevor. I think Adam made a good point. Like, you just echo your point, Ryan, about it stings even more. Like, Trevor Baptiste won 23 of 30 faceoffs. Like, that's, like, you know, just a, you know, a busy day. You know, you don't see too many face-off guys go through that many, you know, and not wear down throughout the game. And, you know, for him to have a monster day, pretty much you guys were a team in control for 3 of the 4 quarters, and then just everything just kind of, like, collapses at the end.
But, again, a very good game. I mean, this is what we were promised as an early season game, and it came up big between the two of them. So Duke with the big victory there.
You got to give him credit also with a caused turnover. Sorry, Ryan, but Duke's really good at pressuring you and making you uncomfortable. Like Denver was pretty much, you know, just slightly ahead in turnovers and then dropped seven turnovers in the fourth quarter to kind of like seal their fate. So Duke can turn that pressure up a little bit. And then, you know, they're just much more dynamic than just Justin Gutterlin. So really, you know, really impressive performance by Duke.
Yeah, the Duke defense and Ethan Walker last year, they were one of the – they were very underrated and under the radar. And then now this year when people actually know what they do and if people really watch what they did last year, they know that they're – both of them are – or the unit and the star and the player are going to be very good this year. So keep an eye on – and Ethan Walker, by the way, was their best player in Denver. People seem to realize – might have been Connor Candizero, well, offensively at least. It was Ethan Walker by far.
It was just a shame that Anish couldn't drop the Game of Thrones reference in that fourth quarter because then Duke shut him down the whole fourth quarter. I think I jinxed it because I told Anish, hey, you know, the only thing that's missing is your Game of Thrones reference with Walker. And he said it was coming. He said after the game that it was right in his queue, but alas, it wasn't meant to be.
It's a sin.
So Saturday's slate was quite something, all within a four-hour time period, because nobody knows how to schedule games apart from one another. Sacred Heart beats Furman 17-13, so the other Pios with the victory there over the Paladins. Towson survives against Mount St. Mary's 15-13. That's right, Towson was in a bowl game with Mount St. Mary's. Go back to 2016 and try to explain that one. Or 2017 even, but Tigers survived that one. Air Force picks up their first win of the year, heading to Poughkeepsie in another tight one, 8-7 over Marist in that. Fairfield beats St. Joe's 11-6. I believe that's the first win of the season for the Stags.
Correct.
Yes, it is. Recovering from that loss from Vermont. And then Maryland was in a tight game, too, 16-14 against High Point. This one was a little bit of a shocker that Maryland was in a bowl game, and they had it pretty well in hand in the first quarter, but then they let the Panthers keep on clawing back into the game. It was a nip-tuck affair, but the Terps survived 16-14. And also in a pretty good one, Richmond beats Bucknell 9-8. Bucknell had the impressive start to the season, but Richmond, you know, after the lost to UMBC to start the season, they recover very nicely with a good win against a good Bucknell team. They evenly matched game there. So I guess the story of those six games, very close lacrosse, a common theme over this weekend.
Yeah.
High Point looks a lot better than previously thought. You know, a really competitive game, I think. They were right in it with Maryland in the fourth quarter. You know, it was really impressive. So, but yeah, I think also really just impressed with Penn. I thought Michigan was going to be sneaky good this year because they weren't that bad last year. You know, they were in the top 20 RPI for a little while. So, I thought this was a really big win. Shout out to Coach Ryan Danny, doing a great job with the Quakers. And I'll put it out there. I'll definitely put Penn number one if they beat Duke.
We didn't talk the Penn game yet.
But I'm just saying. I'm just putting that out there.
That's literally the next game we're talking about. All right. So we can start the conversation here. Penn 12, Michigan 9, the Quakers with the victory.
I'm looking at all of them like at 12 o'clock games. I thought that.
All right. Then we're going to have to continue then.
Oh, my goodness.
Way to go. You couldn't just wait 3 minutes.
Oh. It was part of the
job.
It's part of the 12 o'clock.
We didn't even specifically say the noon games. Oh,
it's all part of the 12 o'clock.
All right, so the 12 o'clock games. Where are the 12 o'clock games then? Because now we got to talk about all the 12 o'clock games. Was Virginia Drex?
Just had it.
All right.
What's just started with the 12 o'clock game.
Let me get my
okay, so
my
what pipe was? I don't know what time the last 1 o'clock game was. Was it Virginia Drexel?
I don't know that now. But they're in order on our scoreboard. They're like grouped in by their time that they ended, or you know, began. So. Anyway.
All right, now I gotta find this.
This is fun.
This and is I'm just sitting here watching.
I'm just sitting here watching Manhattan just beat Lafayette. Beautiful times we have on the College Crosscast. Folks, we love one another on this podcast, yes. Even though Ryan might eat up safe alive because he can't follow directions. We still love each other.
They're all supposed to be in the same...
But he didn't mention the game!
He just kind of, like, ratted the ball off. I was like, oh, yeah,
end play. Like, him off of following.
There's no... And by the way, on our site, there is no time when it ended. Oh, God. So let's just discuss it up to the games to the Penn's victory, 12-9 over Michigan. Please. The Quakers look good. They avenged their loss last year from Michigan. Let's discuss those seven games.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, so I guess I'm up. Thank you. Boy, Maryland. That was an eye-raiser. Wasn't really expecting High Point to be in it with Maryland, and now they're actually kind of in it with Virginia right now as we are recording. Quick note, Asher Knowlton, not a lot of people know him, but he's a very good freshman on High Point. Keep an eye out for him. He had 2 goals, 2 assists, and he's leading the way with High Point as well in the Virginia game. He actually has five goals and five assists on the season before this Virginia game. So that's a guy that you want to watch out for if you like the young guns like we do, because he's definitely going to be on our College Cross all freshman team at the end of May.
I think one other point to note on this, that Richmond-Bucknell game, Bucknell started as well as any team could, and, you know, Richmond, with the first game loss to UMBC, you know, there's a little bit of soul-searching, I think, heading into that game against the Bison, but, you know, good on the Spiders to come up big in that one.
That was a big win, because they were, you know, looking at a 0-2 start to the season, and for a team that was ranked on a lot of people's boards, and I think they were... at least 2 or 3 people put them in our preseason top 20. So, that was against a Bucknell team who had 2 big wins. That one win against Bryan was really impressive, I thought. So, the Bisons were looking good. So Richmond stepped up. It's a big win by the Spiders. You know, you don't want to get left behind in a very competitive SoCon, you know. High Point may not have scored that win against Maryland, but, you know, they definitely got a lot of attention by playing that well against the Terps.
Mm-hmm. All right, on to the next slate of games. I'm going to go in order on the scoreboard I'm looking at, so bear with us.
So listen closely, Safe.
It should be all one order.
UNC hangs on again. If Syracuse was last year's cardiac team, this year it's definitely the Tar Heels. They beat Lehigh 12-11 in
And I'm here, we'll always love you.
Overtime, so North Carolina is somehow 3-0. Yeah, I mean, Lehigh's not that great this year, but Carolina's 3-0 in spite of themselves. Delaware beats NJIT 11-6. Dartmouth hangs on to beat Canisius 13-12. In a battle of Central New York, how about this one? Colgate, 14-11 victors over Cornell. The Red Raiders, 3-0. Wins against Marist, Binghamton, and Cornell. So, three teams that were supposed to be better than them in the preseason, but as of right now, it looks like the Raiders are better than all their opponents. So, look out for the Raiders. And then Manhattan, 12, VMI, 7. The Jaspers with their first victory of the year there.
The Raiders, a controversial top 20 pick by some beloved members of College Cross, have looked really nice. I know this is Cornell's first game of the season, but still, I didn't know Colgate was going to drop 14 points on them. Go on a 4-1 run in the fourth quarter to seal the game. So really impressed by Colgate, Griffin Brown, and Joe Delaney seems, kind of guys you don't really hear of, but playing really well. Raiders are looking nice, you know, in the Patriot League back this year. It's going to be like, feels like the mid-2000s.
Yeah, Griffin Brown had a fire game. 6 goals, 1 assist, and he was being called the one of the better players of the weekend. U.S. Lacrosse Magazine, NCAA.com, putting him as the best player of that weekend. And he pretty much got the same point total as Jeff Teat. 4 goals, 3 assists for 7 points.
Shout out Jeff Teat.
Jeff Teat, baby.
Number one draft pick.
Colgate, because Cornell is actually called the Fighting Jeff Teats. Colgate is an interesting case. Obviously, Marist has some struggles right now. Binghamton has their struggles, and Cornell has their struggles. They have a big game coming up on Saturday against Bucknell, and we'll find out if they are really legit, if they are going to be possibly a contender in the Patriot League or a surprise dark horse contender in the Patriot League, or if they're just beating up on 3 kind of weak teams in the Patriot League. But that'll be an interesting thing to watch. UNC, they just they don't impress me a lot. They have their guys, but, you know, almost losing to Furman, that's scary. Almost losing to Lehigh, you know, they should have lost to Lehigh if you think of, hey, Furman's not that good, Lehigh's better. They have a big test against Johns Hopkins, and if they blow Hopkins out, who in God's name knows what North Carolina is? But I don't think that's happening.
Yeah, this Carolina team is so confusing because, I mean, on paper they should be blowing these teams out, but this is back-to-back weeks where they needed overtime against Furman too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's too something.
Plus, they couldn't cover in the imaginary Las Vegas line against Lafayette. They beat them 17-10, and the line was 7.5.
Yeah, it's going to be a matter of how close to the sun are they flying, and is it going to burn them? Because, I mean, here's the thing. They don't look that good, but they're still 3-0.
That's better than 8-8 and being the best 8-8 team in the history of history.
Well, here's the thing. They just need 4 more wins, and they're 500. They look decent enough in ACC play, that gets them a tournament bid. So,
God.
Yeah.
The ACC needs more teams in their conference so that North Carolina cannot advance. Because they have Hopkins, that's probably a loss. Mercer, St. John's, those are wins.
So that gets you to 5, you need 2 more wins.
You need 2 more wins. Denver, Hofstra maybe, if you know Seth Tierney doesn't go out and yell at all of his players in the second half or halftime or whatever. Richmond, they are struggling. So, you know what? God, somehow they're going to be and the top unseeded team.
I mean, as it stands, it's now, like, I feel like I've been dropping UNC in my poll more so over winning than teams losing because just how... Here's the thing. Yeah, UNC can score. That's the good news. But, once again, their defense is... Bleh. I mean,
yeah,
these aren't teams that are susceptible to being high scoring, like giving up double digits to Lafayette. We'll see.
Not the best. They got some work to do.
Mm-hmm. So,
they try going with Jack Mazzola in goal in this game. And, I mean, they still needed overtime. They had their freshman goalie by the name of Luke Milliken. And he wasn't so hot. He got pulled against Furman. Put Bazula in. He did okay. And then they put Bazula in for this game for the entire game. And he has to go to overtime in order to get the win. So, just scary.
Well, we move on to the next couple games, including number 8 Johns Hopkins loses 12-5 to 12th-ranked Loyola. It just doesn't sound the same. Oh, well, but Loyola wins the Charles Street Derby in pretty impressive fashion there.
Much more competitive than the score in the
future. Okay, Marissa over BU in the first half against Ohio State. Georgetown hangs on to beat Robert Morris 12-11. So a good win for the Hoyas there, continuing their good start to the season.
Hoyas back.
Well, jury's still a little out on that. Quinnipiac, 12-11 victors over Brown in overtime.
And we'll always love you.
So Safe's perennial sleeper team with a big upset there over the Bears.
God damn it, Safe.
I love you, Quinnipiac. I really do. Thank you.
Oh, hi.
That meant a lot. That win meant a lot.
Ohio State was kind of on cruise control, but then had to fend off a late charge from the Hofstra Pride, but the Buckeyes remain undefeated. 9-7 victors in that one in Columbus.
Seth Tierney got down on them at halftime. That's why they had to hold a late charge for the Pride.
In Texas, Villanova with a big upset over Yale, 10-9. That one also in overtime.
And we'll always love you.
Okay, and then
go Birds.
Okay, and then another battle of the throughway. Siena beats Hobart 12-11. Another good one there. So if you're seeing a theme here, all these games except for the Charles Street Derby are 1 or 2 goal games. And hey, that continues with Marquette beating Jacksonville 11-10. In a good matchup there between the Eagles and the Dolphins, not Miami and Philly. Marquette with a good win to start off the season as well. So out of that slate, quite a bit to unpack. I guess we'll start with Greyhounds. How for the Hounds. They looked quite impressive in their victory against the Hopkins team that looked very impressive against Towson.
Well, I don't think Towson's really that good. So we could say that now and see how maybe they are possibly in April, May, and maybe Towson's a lot better than they were in February in that game. But I think Turnbull still was a really good goalie. He had making 11 saves, but obviously Pat Spencer is a really big deal, and he only had one goal, but assist total, he's pretty much the point guard of the team. 3 assists for 4 points, tied with Brian Begley. He had the 2 goals and 2 assists on the day. Loyola was in it with Virginia. They couldn't get by in double overtime. We thought that maybe they were going to bring it against Hopkins. They definitely did. This team definitely looks like a Patriot League caliber championship team come May. Hopkins, I mean, I feel like this is a typical Hopkins like game. No, you have promise at the beginning, and then all of a sudden, second game, let's continue that, and it's like, oh no, we suck again. But they're really like they don't suck because they're Hopkins and they bring on their best recruits.
That hurt, but go ahead, Chris.
I'm done. I'm already done with my point.
I mean, we'll talk a little bit more about the Patriot League with a result later on. But I mean, you know, yeah, Loyola looks good. And, you know, they lost to Virginia, but Virginia-Loyola, you can never really take that much away from it because both teams always bring it between the Cavaliers and the Greyhounds. But in a big rivalry game, this is a huge statement win. Seven-goal win for the Greyhounds, giving the Jays a lot of headaches. Maybe not as much headaches as viewers were having watching that stream, but okay. But
how was that stream? Was it really bad? How bad was it? Because I obviously had a game
just
myself.
One portion there was just jumpy, and the sound was going in and out. But it was like 214,000 people were watching it. So
that's good.
I mean, I don't know how, you know, obviously Facebook, those numbers are dwarfed by a lot of other things. But that was a big number if you just compare it to lacrosse. The only thing I saw that was even comparable, and this actually had 3 times as many viewers, but it was that Brody Merrill, like, full field goal back in 2016. So, like, a video from 2 years ago had, like, you know, 700,000. But that was, like, a ESPN top play.
By the way, just a quick breaking news, because it's just happening as it happens. Lindsey Vonn's not winning gold.
Oh,
Bum, bum, wow.
Okay, back to lacrosse.
But this was a typical Hopkins loss. Not typical Hopkins game, Chris. An overabundance of turnovers. An offense that just disappears because they just don't get the ball. Every time, because Brock played good. Like, I think Adam and I are going to talk about it later, but I thought Brock Turnbull and the defense was fine. They were real good, considering just, like, we were just not doing anything on offense. Keeping the game to 5-4. Our only goal came from a freshman defenseman. Shout out to Jared Reinson for that coming in late in the third. But other than that, Loyola just poured it on. We had no response, and it was just couldn't get out of our own way. Now, I think Petro said in the press conference it was, a team that really probably should have won that Virginia game. Angry about that. Coming in, pretty sharp. They're playing at home. Loyola Stadium's beautiful place to play. And, they had that that crowd pretty rocking. So, they were ready to play Hopkins. Maybe wasn't. They looked good. Those jerseys look nice, for sure.
Oh, yes. Under Armour definitely did a great job.
I'm loving it. They look fantastic. Everything except for the game. It was it was wonderful. So.
I mean, look good, feel good, right?
Yeah. But like good. I said, I'm not that concerned. Like I said, I don't foresee Hopkins making 22 turnovers a game. Our starting attackman getting 4 penalties. One of them was 2 came in the same possession. But, I just don't see that. And like I said, there were some highlights. Brock, I thought, played pretty solid. He gave up 12 goals, but he made 11 saves. Hunter Moreland looked really good at faceoff. I like our defense. I really like Jared, the freshman. I think, Patrick Foley's looking good as well. So there's definitely things that we can build off on. Hopefully see Forey Smith play against North Carolina. Christian Sweezy tweeted in response when I asked if he was injured or something. He was like, he was dressed. So hopefully he gets some more playing time. I know he came in very late at the end. Against Loyola, but that's all I'm really I got from this game. It's disappointing. It was definitely flying high. Philadelphia was winning everything, and then life comes at you swiftly.
Well, that's okay because Hopkins is Baltimore, so
yep. So they don't need to win. Go Birds.
Okay, enough with the Go Birds already. So Loyola looked very good. Ohio State, they've been very impressive to start the season, but you need a little bit of a test there, and they did just that, surviving against Hofstra there at the end. But Ohio State still looks very good. They were blowing out the Pride in the first half. So, Nick Meyer, that's a game where in years past Ohio State might have an upset alert there. But, Nick Myers has them really rolling. And if they could beat Jacksonville on the road this weekend, look out for Ohio State. And then the Villanova.
Before we leave Ohio State, their defense is pretty good. I mean, that BU game, a little bit closer at the end, but they were beating them 10-1 at halftime. They were up on Hofstra as well, 6-3. So, in two games, they've only given up 4 goals in the first half of both games. So, it's just, man, they really look nice. Really solid team all around, and this is just how they won last year. They just went on a streak of not giving up more than 7 or 8 goals a game, and having a much letting that offense grow organically into something pretty imposing.
All right, and then by the way, Ivy League overtimes are another common theme of this weekend, but Villanova. I mean. They tend to do this early in every season, but you got to think, wins against Penn State and Yale to start your year, if they could rack up a road win at Hofstra this weekend, maybe Villanova can, stem the tide a little bit if they run into their second half struggles like they've tended to do if they keep on racking up good wins like this. you know, it's still going to be still way too early to see if that's going to make a difference in helping them with the at-large situation. Probably not once everyone else's strength of schedules get boosted a bit. But that's that could potentially be very good for them if it's a tight bubble battle and they're on it. You know, win against a Big Ten team that's, top three or four in the Big Ten. Win against the Ivy League favorite. So as you were saying about Philadelphia winning everything.
That definitely.
Possibly. Even though it's the suburbs.
That was
Philadelphia metropolitan area.
A highlight for me. That was my upset pick. But I think this is much different than Villanova. Like those other Villanova teams, I think maybe they would get like
Denver
one.
Denver over Duke, by the way.
Pick, what's up?
Well, you also had Denver over Duke as your original pick, and we gloated you into forcing you to pick something else. And hey, you were right with this one.
This is the real hot take. This was the money one. This one you put on the money line.
Because Denver over Duke was not an upset. It was like toss-up game. But go on.
So anyway, my point is, the Villanova. You're right, Ryan. Like they do, like shine brightly in the early season, but like a lot of it's like overtime losses to close teams. You know, like collapsing in the fourth quarter. Like I'm just like they're actually winning these games. Like, and that's the one key. Like I really impressed. Like maybe Yale wasn't as hot as people led me to believe. Because,
looking around the rest of the Ivy League, I still think they're the best team in the Ivy League. Lost to another top 10 team isn't going to change that.
I'm just saying, you know, everybody was yelling at me to put them a top 5 team. But anyway.
We were just yelling at you not to put Princeton over Yale.
I'm just saying, somebody won over the weekend, the other one didn't. This was an away game for both teams. This is not going to be typical for rest of the season, so I wouldn't be that worried if I was a Bulldogs fan. But this was a really nice win by Nova. Like I love that overtime spike on the Dallas Star, which Jerry regrets letting them play there. But shout out to Danny Seibel. But this was really impressive. Like I said, like that was the thing with Nova, like. They would just play competitively in these games. Early in the season, they would lose or something in overtime. Now, you're going in, you could arguably a top 5 team. You know, those are two really impressive wins at the start of the season.
Here's the thing. If you're a fan of an Ivy League school, don't panic too much just yet because this is a lot of teams playing their first game of the year, whereas everybody else was already played. Villanova already played 2 weeks prior. Quinnipiac had had a game before the Brown game. Colgate's played before the Cornell game. So take it a little bit of a grain of salt. It's a little worrying for the Ivy League, but at the same token, remember that this is a lot of their first games. Like, at least Yale and Brown should be a little bit more fine as the season progresses. You know, Cornell, there's legitimate concerns. Harvard, there's legitimate concerns. But, so I wouldn't be too worried if I'm a Yale fan at this point. But I would think that the Ivy League might be reconsidering their let's start a week later, holier-than-thou position for the academics because it's clearly showing on the lacrosse field a little bit that they might want to start around the same time as everybody else rather than a week or two later.
I just want to paraphrase a legendary quote from a tweet that came out in October, 2012 for Mr. Cardell Jones. Quote, "Why should we have to go to class if we came here to play lacrosse? We come to play school. Classes are pointless." So maybe if the Ivy League adopted that method, but a little bit more classier, I would be fine with that.
And one other point before we move on, Marquette. Very good win against Jacksonville. I know we've been kind of pumping up Jacksonville, and they've been struggling since then. But that's a good way to start the season for the Eagles.
Definitely, they had a freshman attack. The starting attack was all freshmen, and I think one or two of them were redshirt freshmen. So very young up top or at the bottom. They need to find a way to replace Tanner Thompson. Looks like they might be doing that with Connor McClellan and John Wagner. And then other than that, maybe there's some glimmer of hope up in Wisconsin. But I don't think it'll be that much.
Alrighty. Moving onward, we have Virginia 13, Drexel 8. So the Cavaliers continue a good start to the season with a victory over the Dragons. St. John's in a little bit of back and forth game against Hartford. They come away victorious 14-12. Bellarmine with a victory over Cleveland State 13-9. In the battle for Route 33 via Manalapan and a couple other roads between the two campuses, Princeton 9, Monmouth 8 in double OT.
And
so the Hawks came to play, gave a big fight to the Tigers in the second half, but Princeton survives with the double OT victory. In a Rhode Island battle, Providence with a pretty nice, nifty win and a good recovery after they lost their first game to BU. They come away victorious by a score of 13-8. And Navy gets a much-needed victory, 7-5 over UMBC. That win after they lost to Jacksonville and Maryland, and they get that done before they go on the NHL Stadium Series road trip that I'm going to completely make a narrative, even though it's a narrative that doesn't really exist because this is college lacrosse, and you play games on a weekly basis anyway. But that is Navy's last home game before they go on the road for a couple games while the Capitals Maple Leafs game will be at Marine Corps Stadium. So be prepared for that talking point out of me. Delaware, 11-6 over NJIT. I believe I said that already. It looks like my schedule went out of order here. I should have used the Collins Cross one, but
All I'm saying is just orderly. Yeah, just, you know, whatever. Do as you wish.
Vermont, 15-3 over Holy Cross. So the Catamounts continue their best start in program history. They're up to 4-0. Yeah, ranked for their first time in 23-year history. Penn State 15-8 over Stony Brook, the Nittany Lions. After their tough loss to Villanova, have won back-to-back games by the same score, 15-8. So out of that bunch, I told you Monmouth was going to be fired up for that game against Princeton. In the first half, it looked like all Tigers all the time, but great comeback ability by the Hawks, but Tigers survived. So I think in that case, that's a good litmus test for both teams. So Monmouth is, you know, they're going to be giving you their best shot when you play them, so that's a good sign for Monmouth. And for Princeton, it's a good sign, you know, Tiger teams in years past would have lost that game. So good resolve out of the Tigers. They're already battle-tested off the bat, and they did something that a lot of their Ivy League brethren can't say, and that's they won.
Big game for Tigers. Started out with a nice 5-1 run to the first two quarters, first half of the game. But, you know, credit to the Hawks for coming back. Like the Princeton, I thought like they would not blow out Monmouth, but I thought they would, you know, playing at home both game, but you know, the not having that competitive disadvantage, as you pointed out, Ryan, of like being behind a team. I thought like you know, they would be, you know, kind of even in like maybe the town level would you know, prove it out in the end. But you know, Dan Bloodgood scored you know, with 3 minutes and 25 seconds left in the fourth quarter, and they, you know, they were really chomping for an upset in Tiger Stadium. So I thought that was a really impressive game. Did you guys watch any of the Army Rutgers? I know maybe
we're not up to Army Rutgers yet.
Oh my god, how many? Let's go on to that one, but I wouldn't talk about that later. But go ahead. Yeah, that was my point about Princeton.
So, I'm going to go with Princeton. So, I know this guy doesn't transform the Princeton offense, but he did put up deuces amount of goals because as he was running part of the Princeton offense, Chris Brown had a nice debut, 2 goals, 3 assists, and yes, I'm going to try and reference Chris Brown songs when referencing Chris Brown.
Let's try.
Throughout the season.
Let's try not to.
Oh, well.
Well, I mean, that's a good sign, though, for the Tigers, because, you know,
yeah,
because you're replacing Zach Currier. You do have Sims for another year, and then, of course, is Sowers in his sophomore year. So if you can get secondary point of attack off of Sowers, we've been saying this all year that the main thing with Princeton this year is building towards next year. But if they can get a year in advance and everything, you know, if they can come ahead with their expectations are this year, and if they could get players that aren't Michael Sowers that are underclassmen to step up, Tigers could be in very good shape. And if they could do this all a year in advance, look out.
Just shore up that defense. I mean, they held Monmouth one goal through pretty much midway through the third quarter. And then it kind of like unraveled a little bit there for a 5-0 Monmouth run. But, you know, if they have that defense and they can just get the offense in unexpected places. Yeah, that's why I thought early on that they may challenge Yale, you know, in the Ivy. So,
And speaking of good points, Providence. I mean, I know Brian right now is 1-2, but that's still a very good win for the Friars to give them some confidence, especially when, you know, they had a huge opportunity to really set themselves as a top 20 team against BU. One goal lost there, so a bit of a heartbreaker. But that's the win that you need to gain yourself confidence after a heartbreaker like that. So, and the Friars do have a bunch of they have a very winnable stretch all the way up until St. Patrick's Day when they got Hofstra. That might be their, you know, the next game where they're an underdog. So they can rack up some wins here and kind of, you know, gain that confidence that they might have lost after losing to BU.
Definitely. I think without that BU loss, they would be maybe in the top 15. But we're seeing, I know I was pretty much bragging about Kearns and Hazi Petrakos a lot in the offseason. Sean Leahy has had a very good season as well from the midfield. 8 goals, 4 assists for 12 points. He had another good day against Bryan. 3 goals, 1 assist to lead the team with 4 overall points. Tate Boyce is still doing T-point things. And as you said, Ryan, their schedules, next 4 games, home against St. Joe's on Saturday. They're at Sacred Heart, which could be, I think, questionable game.
Yeah, Sacred Heart's looking a bit better.
10-8. They lost to 10-8. They lost to them 10-8 last year. So I want to call that maybe a winnable game. UMass Lowell's even tough, too. I mean, they almost beat Harvard by a goal, and also, I mean, Harvard is bad. And then right after that, they have Harvard, who is bad. Although they're kind of good. But,
by the way, can we call Leahy? Can we just call him Officer Leahy? Trailer Park Boys? Great Canadian comedy.
Oh, yes. Yes. We can call him Officer Leahy. Yeah. Yes, I like that. Officer. Good job, Ryan.
Frig off, Leahy. Randy. And then turning our attention to the final slate of games. Ahem, 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 Mr. Safe. We'll start off Army 9, Rutgers 7. So Army with a big victory there. Rutgers offensive, still having a little bit of issues on offense, but what a victory for Army there. Big victory over a top 10 team at home. So the Black Knight Cadets with a big win there. Harvard survive against UMass Lowell 10-9. And by the way, there was a battle of the throughway. And we were expecting high power offense. We finally got in the second half, but only by one team. Albany 15, Syracuse 3. The Great Danes, after a very un-Syracuse-Albany first half, it was 4-1 at halftime, explode in the second half and drop 15, which is okay, that sounds like Albany's offense. But their defense, forcing turnovers, getting saves, and making this team a bit more well-rounded. So if you thought Albany was scary before, they look monstrous after this one. Great Danes with the big victory, 15-3 over the Orange.
It's straight up an underrated defense for Albany. They returned all their guys, Dooley, Stone Stims from last year, J.D. Colarusso especially, and goal, who had a heck of a game. Actually, both goalies had a really good first half. And then that third quarter when Albany just exploded on offense and Syracuse did nothing, that's when the tide started to turn. But overall, I thought both goalies on both sides did really good. Colarusso obviously did better because he only let up 3 goals in Medina. Well, he let up 15. Tahoe and Anacote, the real deal. Fields still doing the same. But the guy, T.D. Erland, is still a stud at the faceoff X. But the guy that I think needs some recognition, and I've been pushing this on my podcast across college, across download on SoundCloud and subscribe on iTunes, Jacob Patterson, the sophomore attackman, 7th on the team in points last year. Very good goal scorer. He was in as like the 4th attackman at times. He had 4 goals in the game, 2nd behind Tahoka with his 5. He's got to see the field some more. Maybe in the mid, when I was talking to some of the Albany people, Patterson's not really known for being a midfielder. He's more for being an attackman. So maybe you get him some runs at midfield to get him at least on the field, maybe as a crease attackman like Nick Colasso did his senior year. But he's got to get on the field, and he's another weapon that Albany could easily use now to help bolster their offense.
Yeah, I think Albany, that's everything you wanted to see if you're a Great Dane fan, because you were getting great performances all across the field. On the Syracuse end, I know that we're getting the Fire Desco calls at a record pace earliest in the season, maybe since that time they lost to Army pretty early in the year. I think that was 20... whatever.
Last year,
or maybe when they lost to Albany the first time around in 2013, but Syracuse's defense looked very good in the first half. Second half, they showed quite a few holes, but if you're going to hold Albany to 15, that's not too shabby. The concern I have for Syracuse is on the offensive end as right now, and I feel like, I don't know, we still don't know where we're getting at with this Syracuse team. We're still in that feeling out process. After they hammered down on Binghamton, it's like, okay, maybe they're a little bit ahead of schedule, but now with this humbling loss, it feels like, nah, we're kind of right where we thought they would be, where it's still a feeling out process. So now we have a case where they score 21 against Binghamton. Now, granted, Binghamton's looked bad to start the year, but now they only score 3 against Albany. So it's like, I don't know which way the offense is going just yet. This team's going to need a little bit of time to gel. I think the real litmus test is going to be the Army game, because Albany's definitely the better team, but Army's a case where it's 2 evenly matched teams where they could go either way. So Syracuse, I would say don't panic just yet. I know that's hard to do with Syracuse across Twitter, etc. But don't panic yet. If you're Albany, though, man, am I excited if you're for the Great Danes. Because the Hoka's the real deal. Connor Fields is still the real deal. Their defense is very stout-looking compared to prior years. This is going to be fun if you're a Great Dane fan, and I think it's time now to enjoy the ride, because if they play like they did on Saturday, they're going to be making some huge noise this season.
Well, going back to the Syracuse situation, although they're still trying to get their offense going, I know they ran Rifus a little bit in midfield late in the game, they still have a lot of parts to figure out who should be where. Midfield's probably going to get changed a little bit before Army, maybe before Virginia. A lot of parts. I just don't know where exactly where the best fit is. I think this Army game is going to be the most important game of the Syracuse season, because if you lose that game, how do you do against Virginia, who looks really good? Hopkins, which is always a rivalry game. Then you're at Rutgers, at Duke, against Notre Dame. You might not able at home. You might not win until Hobart at home, April 3rd. Now that's like really like pessimistic, like doomsday. The end is near.
Syracuse.com commenter.
Yeah, Syracuse. Desco needs to go like midway of the season, where he could go to Lafayette and coach with his son, Tim Desco. But, you know, this is going to be a really important game, and this will show the true identity as a team of Syracuse. It has to. Has to. You need to come out stronger. And I know there were some boneheaded plays by some of these guys, especially on defense, and Peter Durf on the first midfield didn't have a really good game. You get those guys to eliminate those dumbheaded mistakes, and it could be a different game, but I still think Albany would have won that game easily. But still.
Yeah, I think that's the other issue is that Syracuse had a lot of unforced turnovers. So that's a bit of a concern.
Yeah.
Switching gears to Army, though, I mean, as we said, the Patriot League, I wanted to make this point with Loyola, but I figured to wait till this point. The Patriot League, I mean, two wins against Big Ten opponents this weekend. You know, Army and Loyola at the top is going to be one hell of a fight in that Patriot League. Now, obviously, we have to use the disclaimer, the Patriot League eats itself up. But, man, the Patriot League looks fun this year, and... You know, Bucknell had a pretty good start to the year. BU's, you know, even though they lost to Ohio State, BU's been looking solid. You know, even though, and again, Bucknell, very good start to the season. They had the loss over the weekend to Richmond, but, you know, they're still looking good. We're in for a very, the Patriot League is always entertaining, but it's going to be entertaining plus top caliber teams this year, too. Because Army and Loyola has proven that they can hang with the best of them so far. And if Army could beat Syracuse or, you know, just barely lose to them, to go along with Loyola just barely losing to UVA plus beating Hopkins, we might be looking at the Patriot League getting more than one team in the tournament this year. Of course, that requires the Patriot League to act right, and the Patriot League never acts right, but... You know, it's not out of the question at this stage of the game that Patriot League might get more than one bid this year.
It's a possibility. I think, and we've always like kind of hammered this idea down, there's a lot of parity in this sport. And I think it'll continue to grow and grow. We saw it with High Point, with how they were against Maryland and a few other teams. This is really going to get even, and we're even with Albany against Syracuse. I mean, Albany beating Syracuse by a 12-goal margin, only letting up 3 goals, shows a lot about how far this Albany program has come.
I mean, we shouldn't be that surprised that Albany's this good. Like, they were, you know, favored by a lot of teams to be a Final Four team last year. They could bring a lot of their most important parts back. They have an absolutely dynamic, I don't want to say one of a kind because I don't want to put that too much on them. Yeah, but he could be, like, you know, an extremely special player. Did you see that comment by Lyle Thompson that said he believes that both Connor and Nanticoke will both surpass his all-time points record, which, you know, is extremely high praise. And, you know, the way that they're playing right now, you know, looks like it could be within reach. So, you know, was it one of you guys, maybe Jake, maybe Adam, said outside possibility there was a prop bet, and we don't endorse gambling, of like 50 or 60 goals? For Tahoka, would you have taken it? I was like, yeah, it seems impressive. Like, see him play for a little while. Like, I think we kind of saw right there that he's gonna have an impact this season. You know, in every single game that he plays. So,
yeah, so that was that on Sunday. Then Saturday. Then Sunday we had. Would you believe it? Another double overtime game. This time, Detroit Mercy beats Mercer 8-7.
And I will always love you.
Sunday also was a great Daytona 500. So there's that.
Shout out Austin Dillon.
Shout out to Jim. It was down in Daytona. Looks like he had a really good time down there.
Man, I want to go to a 500 one of these days.
When are you going to live tweet that NASCAR movie?
Ricky Bobby?
Is that the name?
No, that's Talladega Nights. You're thinking of Lucky Logan, was it?
Yes.
I don't know. One of these days, I'm not much.
Logan Lucky, one of those. Yes, exactly. Those two words are in the title. I don't know which order, but.
Eventually, I guess. Reminder that this offseason we are planning, as long as we still have the Podomatic package that we have, live PD, live.
Saturday nights, College Cost Radio.
Then today we had a whole bunch of games. And they were still very close, including Richmond, 13-10 over Mount St. Mary's. So the Spiders come away with another victory. What's up with the Mount St. Mary's? I mean, they've looked they're 0-3, but they've been competitive this year.
Their mount is good.
Yeah, they're much better than we anticipated with them. I know they don't have win to show for it, but they're hanging tough. Speaking of hanging tough, how about this one for the first time ever? Battle of the Mass Pike, Holy Cross 10, Harvard 9 in double overtime.
And
do your roommates ever want to kill you?
Well, no.
Yeah.
I killed them.
Canisius 12, Binghamton 10. So the Griffs with the first win of the year there. Virginia 18, High Point 12. The Panthers looked gamey again today, but the Cavaliers pull away in the second half to win that 18-12. BU beats Dartmouth 10-4 in the Battle of Marissa's Heart, her alma mater versus her home state's only team. But the Terriers come away victorious over the Big Green there fairly comfortably. Manhattan 12, Lafayette 9, the Jaspers with the victory there. That gets them, they were already off the reverse survivor side. Oh, by the way, Lindsey Vonn's knocked down to third right now. So not even silver for Lindsey Vonn. And lastly, Jacksonville comes away with a victory 15-8 over Detroit Mercy. So Duval back in their winning ways.
Yeah, I think Harvard just sucks. Can we just agree on that? Harvard just sucks. Even with all, remember when James Sullivan was one of the top three Fogos in the class of 2015?
Remember that Harvard
just sucked.
Remember that Harvard's had a top recruiting class, like top five recruiting class every year this decade, and they still haven't made an NCAA tournament?
Remember when Clint ranked them in the top 20? I remember. Chris Walsh, it's going to get, it's with all that talent. And you just had to take out all of your assistants and replace him this year. It might be the head coach. It might just have to be the. I mean, it's early in the season.
That's a hot take.
It's early in the season, but the fact that you almost lose to UMass Lowell by a goal, then you lose to Holy Cross by a goal. It does not look good. And if you finish under 500 and bad in the Ivy League, I think it's time for Chris Wolchek to go.
Alrighty, so the top 20 poll, as it stands right now, as I just write down the time code so we know where to go on this. So the top 20 poll, the media poll this week reads as follows. Duke remains at number one, but Albany moves up to number two. Maryland slides down to 3, Denver down to 4, Ohio State to 5, Virginia 6, Villanova 7, Notre Dame 8, Army 9, Loyola 10, Yale at 11, UNC at 12. They actually rose in the polls. Rutgers slides to 13, Hopkins down to 14, Penn State 15, Syracuse takes the biggest tumble to 16. Vermont, ranked for the first time in their 23-year program history, up to 17th. Princeton stays put at 18, so does Towson at 19, and Colgate enters the poll at 20. Also receiving votes, Marquette, Georgetown, Penn, Hofstra, Richmond, BU, Providence, Brown, Delaware, Cornell, for God knows what reason, and Harvard, for some reason or another. Our polls, the College Cross Top 20, actually is a little bit different. Albany just ekes out Duke at the top of the poll with 5 first place votes compared to Duke's 4. So Albany's number 1, followed by Duke. Maryland at 3, Denver 4, Ohio State 5, Army 6, Nova 7, UVA at 8. Loyola, Notre Dame tied for 9, Yale at 11, Rutgers 12, Penn State 13, Hopkins 14, UNC 15, Cuse 16, Vermont 17, Colgate 18, Princeton 19, and Penn 20. Also receiving votes among the 9 of us, Georgetown, Towson, BU, and Richmond. So now that I'm a little bit out of need a little drink, what do you guys have as your top 20s?
I'll go first. I have Duke at 1. They are, I think, still the better of the 2 teams. I mean, I know people were discussing, like, hey, style points this week, I got to give it to Albany. Style points this week, I got to give it to Duke because they played a top 5 team, maybe even a Final Four team in Denver. And they held them. They held their own, especially in the fourth quarter. So I have Duke 1, Albany is 2. And even though, I mean, Albany still looks good, I still think Duke is a little bit better than them overall at this point. Maryland 3. I have Denver 4. Not that far of a fall. I think they only fall maybe 1 spot. So not that bad of a fall at all. And I don't think they really deserve that fall. Well, I don't think they deserved a deeper fall. Ohio State 5. Then we go to the really what in the world am I doing here moments. Army West Point 6. Virginia 7. Loyola 8. Villanova 9. Penn State 10. I have Villanova at 9, and people were saying you should have them at like 7 or 8. I have them at 9. They're 2 wins against, I mean, 2 really good teams, Penn State and Yale. I don't want to have it as like what we did with Penn last year where somehow they beat Virginia. They were ranked in the top 10 for some reason. And then the following week they lost. And then they were unranked a few weeks later. So I don't want to have that happen with me. Notre Dame 11. Yale is 12. Rutgers is 13. Hopkins 14. Syracuse is 15. North Carolina falls to 16 with another win. Vermont is 17. And I loved how people were questioning me for ranking Vermont 17. Mainly in the Cuse locker room because we played them and they were like, yo, they weren't that good. I'm like, okay, well, guess what? They're 4-0 and we're 1-1. So that's none of my business. Penn is 18. Colgate is 19. And then Princeton is 20. I consider Georgetown, Towson, and BU with my top 20.
Ryan, are you going to go or do you want me to go?
I guess I'll go because you have the actual media vote. So we'll save the best for last. Mm-hmm. I have Albany 1. I told everybody it was going to go down to style points. I think Albany wins the style points by blowing out a top 10 team. That's not a knock on Duke. It's just a plus on Albany. So Albany at 1, Duke at 2. I have Denver at 3. I have them staying put because, you know, top 3 game against Duke. They held their own. They lost, but they were competitive. And I still think they're one of the best in the nation. Ohio State, I move up to number 4. They've been looking very good. Maryland, I drop down just a tad bit to 5. They didn't look the same against High Point, but they're still going to be very good. So they'll definitely correct that by next week. So no worry if you're a Terp fan. Just maybe a temporary dip just after that game. Army I have up to 6. Nova to 7. Yale I didn't drop down too far because, again, overtime game. They were ranked top 5. I knocked them down to 8. I think that's a better loss than other teams have at this point, too, with everyone losing in the top 15. Virginia up to 9. Loyola up to 10. I got Notre Dame at 11. Rutgers slides down to 12. Penn State at 13. Syracuse to 14. Hopkins to 15. I think, you know, Syracuse had the tougher game against Albany. And even though they got blown out, it was against the top team. So I didn't slide them as far back. And Hopkins, you know, they got a good win against Towson. But the loss to Loyola, I think, in the grand scheme of things, both teams are kind of evenly matched, but I did have Cuse ahead of Hopkins the week before, so keeping the status quo, given that they both had similar losses. You know, Hopkins lost by a little bit less, actually quite a bit less, but Syracuse also lost to the better team, so keeping the status quo a little bit there. Vermont, I have up at 16. UNC slides down to 17. BU at 18. They kind of had the benefit of not playing over the weekend before their game tonight, so BU gets to stay in the top 20. Didn't really want to punish a team for not playing. That's why Notre Dame, even though I had a couple team or two jump them because of good wins in the cases of Virginia and Loyola, I didn't really slide Notre Dame too far down. And then I have Colgate at 19. I think even though Cornell's not the same Cornell team as we thought, there's still three very impressive wins. And rounding out the top 20, I have Princeton. They were on the outside looking in, but they survived. They did the job. So Princeton gets in at 20 thanks to a couple other losses. And Penn, Towson, and Georgetown, I was also considering Marquette as well. But mainly in that order.
All right, so mine went Albany number one, Duke two, Maryland number three, Ohio State four, Denver five, Villanova six. I think they just had the two most impressive wins of the season so far. Army seven, really impressed with their defense, just absolutely shutting down Rutgers in the second half, only two combined goals in the third and fourth quarter. Went with Virginia number eight. Someone told me I would rank Virginia number eight to start the season. A month ago, I would tell them to lay off the sauce during the daytime. Notre Dame at number nine, benefit of not playing, but that also, you know, they couldn't do anything to help their cause in a weekend when a lot of people lost. And I think if they just played and won against a somewhat competent team, they probably could have gone as high as, you know, seven or eight, again, just because so many teams lost. Loyola back in the top 10, put them at 10. Yale, number 11, kind of around the range where I had them at the beginning of the season. But, you know, preseason poll, I mean. Rutgers, 12. North Carolina, 13. Penn State, 14. Syracuse, 15. Hopkins, 16. Princeton, 17. Vermont, 18. 19 went to Penn. And the Raiders get my 20th spot. And just, I guess, FYI for everyone, I don't count any of your ACV votes. When I put the ACV vote, those are just the teams who are in somebody's top 20. So just as a heads up. But that's my top 20.
We're going to have an interesting conundrum that we're going to discuss it a little bit when we go into this week's games involving a certain team either not in a top 20 or in the back end, because this is going to be kind of interesting to talk about. So we'll talk about that in just a sec as we look ahead to this week's games. But before that, any news and notes to share, Mr. Chris?
So right now I have none. I'm working on maybe getting something from Air Force. Reach out to their SID, and he had no idea about any update for that situation. He's actually left out in the dark. So it sounds like it's all from the academy side of things. We'll see if we can get an answer, but I highly doubt it. So that's the only news and notes thing we have right now.
All right, so let's move on to this weekend's slate of games. It's not as nutty as the past week, but still some good games, and it starts tomorrow. We got some midweek action for you, including the battle for the Outer Bridge Crossing, or New York Bay, or whatever. Monmouth at Wagner at 3 o'clock. That'll be on NEC Front Row. And then a pretty tasty one at 5, Penn at Maryland. We'll get to that conundrum in a little bit after we go through this week's lineup. But very interesting one between the Quakers and the Terps. Then we have on Friday at 1 o'clock, Hampton hosts the University of the District of Columbia. That's a 1 o'clock game, so Hampton in a transitional game there. Then we have UMBC at Mount St. Mary's at 3. Cleveland State at Air Force at 4, and UNC at Johns Hopkins at 5 on ESPNU. Saturday, we got another full slate of games. Furman at Canisius at noon. VMI at NJIT at noon. Georgetown at Towson at noon. Robert Morris at Penn State. Drexel at Albany. Michigan at Yale. High Point at St. John's. Delaware at Monmouth. Fairfield at Rutgers. Those are your noon games. Then we got a lot of 1 o'clock games because nobody knows how to spread out schedules. Marquette at Detroit Mercy. Bellarmine at Manhattan. Harvard at UMass. Brown at Stony Brook. Vermont at Quinnipiac, Lafayette at Loyola, Bucknell at Colgate, Hobart at Cornell, Richmond at Notre Dame. That'll be on ACC Network Extra. Holy Cross at Lehigh, UMass Lowell at Siena, St. Joe's at Providence, Navy at BU, Princeton at Virginia. The two old rivals meet up for the first time since, I believe, since they played in the 2011 NCAA tournament. I might be wrong on that, but I think that's the first time the two of them are squaring off, or the 2012 NCAA tournament. So, renewal of a rivalry. Ahem, Syracuse, take notes. Villanova at Hofstra as well at 1. Then at 2, Bryan at Hartford and Army at Syracuse. Army Syracuse will be ACC Network Extra. Duke at Penn at 3 on ESPNU and Dartmouth Sacred Heart at 4. And then we'll just read off the rest of the games before we dive into the games that interests us. Cleveland State at Denver at 1, Binghamton at Marist at 1, and Ohio State at Jacksonville at 1 in the Moe's Lacrosse Classic on Sunday. And then next Tuesday before we record, we have Yale at UMass at 3, Hartford at Fairfield at 3, Mount St. Mary's at Georgetown at 3, Drexel at Villanova as the Philly school goes out to the suburbs at 4, BU at Bryan at 7, and the Long Island Derby as Hofstra heads to Suffolk to take on Stony Brook. Some interesting games up ahead. I think, you know, Bucknell Colgate's a very interesting one in the Patriot League. Michigan Yale might be interesting, given that Michigan gave Penn a little bit of fits. Villanova Hofstra, you know, Hofstra is known for pulling off upsets at home, so that could be a good one. And, of course, a renewal of Princeton-Virginia, now a little bit different than what it used to be in the Tierney days, with Princeton being a little bit more offensive-minded and going up against Lars Tiffany. So a little bit of a renewal of acquaintances there, too, is Lars Tiffany taking on an Ivy League opponent. But the interesting conundrum of this weekend is, and, of course, you have UNC Hopkins, too, but the interesting conundrum is the Penn Quakers. Now, I don't have them ranked yet, and personally, I'm not buying into the hype like you guys are. But the theoretic thing is this. They play two top five teams this weekend. One's a midweeker at Maryland, and Maryland had a little bit of a rough time against High Point. And then they host Duke in Philly at Franklin Field, which could have all the makings of a trap game. So the conundrum here is, if Penn wins both of their games, is it possible? Because they would by far have the two best wins on anybody's resume. Go from unranked to top five, and who knows, as high as top three. Because I know you guys have been discussing it. I'm not buying it, but the potential is there for a quantum leap for the Quakers.
I mean, there's nothing for sale, so there's nothing to buy. I was just like, if it happened that they beat Duke and Maryland within 5 days of each other, that, like, and they're a pretty solid win against Michigan the week prior, like, that's the most impressive resume there is out there, and they merit at least a top three. And I would put them top three. I don't even know. Maybe I'd make them number one. Who knows? I may get crazy with it. But, you know, like, they beat Duke and Maryland, two teams in the top three, successively within days of each other. Yeah, of course. I don't know how you couldn't put them in the top three.
Even if they beat Duke and even if they beat Maryland, they're not going to be number one. It's going to be Albany. They might be number two. They might be number three. But definitely top five if Penn can beat Maryland and Duke, which I don't think they will be able to do. They'll put in a fight, but I don't think they'll be able to do it.
I don't. I'm gonna say they don't beat either one of them.
Yeah, it's very far fetched, but you wouldn't put them in your top three. I just want to get the parameters here right.
Well, I would put them in my top five, maybe my top three, because I have right now. It would be, because Albany and Denver would be definitely top two. Now you're fighting with either Penn, Ohio State at three.
They would have beaten your number one, number three team, and you wouldn't put them. You wouldn't put them in your top three.
I would put them at four. I would. I feel like it would either be three or four.
Okay, that's fair.
All right. By the way, story time, because you guys love stories. So, 11th grade, junior year of high school, we went to the Virginia-Princeton game. It was a class trip, you know, it was the boys lacrosse team going to the game. It was fun. It was, you know, had to do permission slips and everything for a Saturday trip. Well, anyway, the game was on ESPN, and we mean actual ESPN, so we could have sat at home and watched it ourselves, right? No, we went to the game, and then, if you remember, this is the 2008 UVA Princeton game. As soon as the national anthem starts, it starts pouring. And it just wouldn't let up for the whole game. It was a freaking monsoon that they played in. We sat through, I think it was 3 inches of rain in a 2.5 hour period there. And once again, the smartest guy on our team, Tom Duggan, he was sick that day. Or something or another. Wise decision staying at home watching it from the comfort of his own home on ESPN while we got drenched. But it was actually a pretty good game. Virginia won, I think, 12-10. So it's actually pretty competitive given the conditions. But that's my Princeton UVA memory. So good to have that back. You guys love my stories, right? I build them up just to let you know.
Just like, where is this going?
It was a monsoon. I feel like every one of my stories that involves Princeton involves some sort of like terrible weather or getting lost on a bus or something like that.
I just opened up a pack of Girl Scout shortbread cookies and just enjoyed your story.
Why, thank you. So let's, after me disappointing everybody, let's go to the pick'em. What's your upset special of the week?
Give me Hofstra over Villanova.
Really?
Yeah.
Michigan over Yale.
Ooh.
I'll go. This is tough because there's a couple potential ones, but nothing that's like real solid. Go for it, go for it, go for it. How about maybe Richmond over Notre Dame? That's going to be a tough one, but Richmond plays a similar style to Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. And if that's a close ball game, that could be an overtime game. So, I'm not that confident in it, but I could see Richmond over Notre Dame because they both play that defensive-minded style where it could be a last goal win situation.
Early season bye week, too. You know, that's kind of good to rest up guys, but that also means Richmond's been playing for the last 2 weeks straight.
Yeah, so. But it worked – well, kind of worked with Villanova, but it's a different situation where Yale's playing their first game. So, we'll see.
Mm-hmm. So let's play Pick'em. Penn, Maryland.
Terps.
UNC versus Johns Hopkins.
UNC finally loses by a lot. Johns Hopkins.
I'm going to go Tar Heels just because Freshie owns Hopkins at Hopkins, and obviously I hope the other way around, but.
I'm only going UNC for the bants. All about that banter, baby. Georgetown Towson. Two teams on the outside looking into the top 20.
That was my 12 o'clock game, the one I was most interested in. in the 12 o'clock block. I think Georgetown's going to win that game. And I think not because Towson's bad. I think Georgetown's not going to be like Final Four run, but I think they're, you know, really improved. And Towson still has some questions offensively. I know they had a nice bounce back win, but, you know, Georgetown seems to be the little bit more of a, you know, kind of momentum going in, you know, they could be a three-team conference in the Big East, you know, if they stay this way the rest of the year. You know, obviously Providence is the other one, but, you know, and Villanova and Denver are the two top, but, you know, Big East could be really good, really good conference, and this would be the kind of game that you need to show that. So, I really like that Hoyas Tigers game.
I'm going to go with Georgetown as well. They struggle with Mount St. Mary's, and I feel like every team is now struggling with Mount St. Mary's, whether it's Delaware or Richmond or even Towson. So I'm going to go with Georgetown. I think their offense definitely is a lot better than it was last year. Overall, they're a lot better. Towson, they still need to find out where they're going to get their offense from. Probably John Mazin, Brendan Sunday. But I like the Hoyas in this one.
At the risk of giving Coach Nadel and bulletin board material, I'm going to go with Georgetown because I think the Hoyas are a little bit more ahead at this point in the season. I think we're now kind of at the acceptance stage of Towson's. We're going to have to wait till CAA play for them to really put it together. Whereas Georgetown's looking a bit better to start the season. So give me the Hoyas in that one. Michigan-Yale, I know that safe you picked Michigan as your upset special, but I'm going to go with Yale in a recovery victory there.
I'm going to go with Yale, too.
Let's see. Bucknell-Colgate. This is going to be a very important game in the Patriot League right off the bat between two teams that have looked pretty good to start the season.
I'm going to go with Colgate just because I think Bucknell has had some goalie troubles in their first two games. They went with Christian Klepstein, and he stood in there for an entire 60 minutes. I'm not sure if Colgate's offense can get hot, if that will be the same. I'm going to go with Colgate for the 4-0 start.
Bucknell's played well, but I think Colgate's offense has, you know, been really impressive this year. I think the Raiders pulled that one out.
I'm actually going to go Bucknell on that. I know I've been high on Colgate and how they've played, but, you know, Bucknell wants to turn things in the right direction after the loss to Richmond. They've looked good against Bryant. I think they played a bit better quality opponents than Colgate has just because the Bryant games, Bryant and Richmond are a little bit better than Binghamton and Cornell to have on the schedule. So give me Bucknell in that one. Speaking of Cornell, I was remiss that I forgot. It's the Finger Lakes Derby between Hobart and Cornell. So Hobart Cornell, who do you got?
I'm going with the Fighting Jeff Teats.
Let's go Cornell.
I'm actually going to go, Cornell. Hobart's been a little shaky to start the year. Richmond Notre Dame, that's my upset special. I got Richmond in a one-goal game. How about you guys?
I got Notre Dame. Notre Dame will win in a two-goal game.
I think Notre Dame. Close, but I think Notre Dame.
Navy BU as Navy begins their NHL Stadium Series road trip.
Oh. Navy can win faceoffs than they have with Joe Varello. They just need to get their offense going. I'm going to go with BU.
You know, I think I'm going to go with Navy.
I'll go BU. I know Navy had a good win against UMBC last weekend, but Navy's still got a bit more to figure out than BU does at this point of the season. Plus, it's at Nickerson. So, give me BU. The renewal of Princeton UVA, who do we have?
Princeton.
I have UVA. I don't think Princeton's offense is going to be that good against UVA. But, you know, Ipoy was in it tonight against the Cavaliers, so who knows? I'm going to go with UVA still.
Third game in a week for the Cavs. I think Princeton had a nice scare against Monmouth, and I think they have something for the Cavs.
This one's going to be kind of tough because I could see this going either way. But I think Princeton's not there just yet, whereas UVA's shown that they've improved. I think Princeton will definitely give a game to it, but I think they lose by like three. I think Virginia wins this one. It'll be a good one. But I think Virginia comes out on top on that. I think Princeton's not there yet. Virginia's almost there. So give me Virginia. Three-goal game and a good one. By the way,
let's not ever see those Virginia blue uniforms again. They just look awful, and they just don't look – I like the Virginia script on those white and orange uniforms. Please change those blues ASAP.
Nova Hofstra was Chris's upset special. I'm going to go with Nova, though. I know Hofstra looked a bit better against Ohio State in that second half, but, I mean, Villanova, I feel like at this point in the season, is too tough to stop.
Yeah, Villanova.
And then Army-Syracuse. This is usually a game that gives Syracuse fits in the first place, and now Army coming off the victory over Rutgers and Syracuse coming off the loss against Albany.
The last thing you want to do is face a really tough defense after scoring three goals. I'm going to go with Army.
I'm going to go with Army.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Army as well. I was contemplating picking them against Rutgers, and then they did that, and I think Rutgers is a bit better than Syracuse. So give me the Black Knight Cadets in that one. Good God, the Fire Desco is going to be sky high with that one. And then Duke Penn. Hey, the U.S. scored in hockey. We might actually make a semifinal without NHL players. That's hilarious.
I'm going to go with Duke. Go Duke. USA.
Let's go Penn.
I'm going to go with the Dukies. I'm refraining from doing the Dick Vitale impersonation. And then
the Duke Dish, baby!
That's it. We're only doing the Saturday games.
All righty. It. Yeah, rest of the games are whatever. So that just about does it for this edition. Any final thoughts before we wrap things up?
Let's have another great weekend.
I think, let's have a fun weekend. Let's play fair. Let's start some more storylines. And if you're Seth Tierney, please do not yell.
Oh, my God. Stop with the inside jokes. Stop tweeting. Anyway, as usual, collegecross.com, your hub for all things lacrosse. You can follow us on Facebook. You can follow us on Instagram at college_cross. And you can follow us on Twitter at college_cross, and you can follow me, Ryan McDonald, at RyanMcD29.
You can follow me at CF Jastrzemski.
Folks, I am at Erie_Barrister.
And as usual, be on the lookout for other podcasts, including Across College Across. You can subscribe to that as well. It's on iTunes now. It's also on SoundCloud. You can subscribe to us at College Crosscast on Podomatic as well as iTunes and Google Play.
Chris, why don't you go on Google Play? Why are you letting your Samsung fans not enjoy the content?
Good question. I've tried, and it's tough to figure that out.
Yeah,
it did take a little bit. It was a little bit of pain in the neck on Google's end. So,
asking for a friend, obviously.
Mm-hmm. So. And of course, we got lots of news and content on the main site. You can follow us on the Bants on Twitter.
Shout out to Skylar. Shout out to Dan. Just great stuff. Skylar with the women's lacrosse coverage and Dan with the great roundups the last couple of weeks. So really excited to have these new guys. Obviously, we're having fun, everything else, but really, we're going to have a good season, I think.
Yep.
All right.
We always do.
Yep, we always do. We have a fun time. So, catch you on the next edition of College Crosscast next week, and thank you for listening once again.
Good care.
Bye, Felicia.
And as usual, stay hydrated, everybody. Because, you know, it's unseasonably warm and everything.